This is the Transcend in Life podcast with your host, J.M. Ryerson, taking you from fear to freedom.
Hey, what's up, guys? Welcome back to Transcend in Life. I'm really excited. You are about to witness a woman that has so much energy. Pam Christian is a mindset coach, motivational speaker, and host of the Juice podcast, where she features in-depth conversations with thought leaders across a range of industries. Pam's work encompasses helping her clients transform their lives by eliminating self-created barriers, maximizing their full potential, and dramatically increasing their effectiveness on both personal and professional levels. Prior to coaching, Pam built a successful career in real estate, where she was ranked among the 100 most influential realtors in New Jersey and earned the most prestigious awards in the industry, including Circle of Excellence. Pam is a social media influencer whose mission is to help humanity by inspiring and motivating others to live their best lives. Pam, thank you so much for being here. Welcome.
Thank you for having me. I think I want to hire myself after you gave me that great of an intro. Thank you.
I'm impressed. I think you've done some pretty cool stuff. But you know what I would say? I love the end of what it says, which is you are all about helping people live their best lives. It was something along those lines. Yeah. So you did real estate and you may still be doing, I don't know, and you do the mindset coach, which I love. Tell me your journey a little bit. How did you get to this place?
All right. So it was a journey like most of us have. And when we actually take the time to reflect on it, we realize that we didn't just land here. It was a process. And who, I don't know, I never would have thought that this is where I'd be. And I think I would say it stemmed from a very young age. I experienced trauma at a very young age that was very difficult to go through, which I won't go into because my book's coming out this summer and it's going to be in there. So I got to save it. So I think that was the first step towards bringing me to where I am today. And lots of missteps, lots of staying on the path, going off the path, redirecting, course correcting, lots of falling down and getting back up brought me to a place where at the end of my real estate career, because I don't do that anymore, and I've had many careers prior to that as well, but I kind of was like, you know what? I'm making a lot of money. I'm a single parent, three kids. This is really nice. I'm at the top of my game in my real estate career. So I have the accolades. I got all that. And on this side, I'm like, so why leave that? That's so good. But on this side, I was like, I'm so done with me. I'm so done feeding my ego. I'm so done making more, getting more. What else do I need? And I was kind of burnt out from the transactions and stuff like that. So I decided just to take some time off. And I should say, I had wanted to do that for a while, but prior to being able to, unexpectedly, my dad got very sick and very fast passed away. And then, you know, we had the year in between when we had to, you know, take care of his affairs and everything like that. And then my mom passed away right after he did. And so when that happened and after she passed away, I was like, I don't know why I'm thinking about this anymore. It's time to go do it. But what I did was I just took time off. And we spoke a little, and I can tell you're probably a little bit like me in certain ways. And taking time off doesn't really resonate well with me. It's not my personality. It's not my comfort zone. So I really had to push through it and not just run for the next shiny object that I was like, oh, this would be a good career, or this would be a good career, or I could be really good at this, because there are things, so many things I'm interested in. And I just sat with it and I meditated and I walked and I made myself really good food. And I spent a lot of time alone, soul searching. And this kind of fell in my lap in a way, in terms of it being a career, but my whole life has been geared towards this because I've healed myself. I've changed my mindset. I was a disaster. I was insecure. I was anxious. I was a mess as a teenager because of the trauma. Also, I was a teacher and a special education teacher and worked with a special population, special needs population, like spina bifida, cerebral palsy, like very severe muscular dystrophy, kids with cancer. And I think all of those things, plus my own heartache and my own adversity, kind of set me up for this. And this is where I'm supposed to be. And some days I don't want to be here. Some days I don't want to be videoing myself on Instagram. Some days I don't want to be doing this because it's not in my comfort zone, but there's something inside of me compelling me and pulling me forward. This is my mission, to motivate and inspire others to live their best lives, because life is so short. It's not worth not going for it.
Yeah, it's you know, one thing you said, I am so done with me. And you're like, look, I'm going to go give everything I have to these other people. But before you did that, and I hope everybody heard this, I want to go into this a little bit more. You said, I sat with it. I meditated. I took walks. I cooked myself good food. Tell me a little bit more about that, because I think some people are so afraid to do what you did, to just sit with themselves and go, look, there's crazy thoughts going through my head, but I'm going to sit with it. Tell me more about that.
All right. So it's healing, and you heal at different levels, and there are different layers of healing. And you know, just because you can't take off from your career and say, I'm going to take off and take a year off or 6 months off, doesn't mean you can't do it. There are lots of ways for us to be able to incorporate this into our lives. The thing is that we have to be ready to touch our dark side. Because you will feel raw, deep down pain if you're really doing the work. And the work is looking at yourself. And it's easy to say what I like about myself. There are lots of things that I like about myself. It's not so easy to admit what you don't like about yourself. And it's really going into the crevices and the dark cave of what you don't like about yourself and acknowledging it, but also parenting it, being compassionate, parenting your inner child, your wounds, all the raw stuff that is built up, not just over the years of your own life, but generations and our ancestors and stuff like that. And when I said cooking good food or meditating, and I did not like meditating at the beginning, because all that would happen was noise, 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 telling me why I'm not worth it, why I'm this, why I'm that, what if all the what ifs, whatever. It was not comfortable. And people think you sit down and meditate and your mind's supposed to be clear. That doesn't happen for years. It takes time, but it's a process. And along the process, you're going to be like, oh, I'm a little lighter. My head's a little lighter. It's not clear yet, but the noise isn't as loud. Cooking yourself good food. Well, like, you're taking yourself out on a date. Not only are you nourishing yourself with a good meal that's healthy, you're putting your love into it. You're putting your soul into it. And that's what it's all really about, getting to know our soul, not our personality and our five sense person, but we're multidimensional people and we have multidimensional senses. We're just not taught that. And sitting with it, sitting with all of it, the good, the bad. I did things when I was younger to not just self-sabotage myself, but that hurt other people. I had to forgive myself. I had to have compassion for myself. And if you can't take, you know, off like I did, but you decide to spend 15 minutes a day on it, you are going to be on the road to recovery. And recovery, when you get to the other side of recovery, it's a beautiful thing. Life is free. It's liberating. There's not much that can bother me. And that doesn't mean that I don't go through other dark times in my life, because this is layers and it's not like you're ever fully healed, but it hits you in a different way. And so I really encourage you to do the work. And if you feel like it's too scary to do alone, get a coach. Get you. You'd be a great coach for this. You could call me. Or if you don't have the funds for that, get an accountability partner and have a friend that you're doing it with. There, we can find obstacles to say why we can't do it. Find the reasons why you can do it.
So if you guys aren't watching this, even as she said this, she said it's so free. You could see like weight come off, even though you're just talking about the subject matter of a question I asked. But when you talk about doing the work and you said the other side, you could literally see it. It's so obvious. And I don't know why people are so afraid of that dark side. I guess I do know why.
It's dark.
I want more people to dive in. You know what I mean?
The only way to the other side is through. And I use this example a lot. You know, when you like cut your knee, last summer, I cut my knee so badly. It was an open wound. There were little dots of blood coming up, you know, and it's like all like sore and everything. And I didn't put a Band-Aid on it because I kind of wanted it to scab over, but I accidentally hit it in the corner of my coffee table when it was still open and just the wound was brand new. And it was like, oh my God, it's what you're doing when you're healing. You're constantly hitting the wound over and over and over again. And, you know, if you look at yourself and reactions that you have to things that you don't like, let's say someone triggers you or you fly off the handle or you're impatient or you're defensive, it's all because of the wounds. It's not because of what the other person is doing. The other person is just bringing it out in you. So if you start dealing with those wounds and you know what they are, and you may only know the very surface layer of what they are, start there. But yeah, you have to sit with it.
So true. I got to talk about meditation just for a moment, because you said something I think is just, it's my mother feels the same way. You said the way you felt. I didn't like it. There was so much going on. And what I try to get people to hear, so I want them to hear this more. It is not going to be simple and okay, now I'm enlightened. Like, no, dude, that's not how it works. So just being aware of your thoughts. Isn't that the whole idea? Talk a little bit more about that, because I push people to do this, yet I know there's so much resistance to it. So can you talk a bit about how that process went for you?
Sure. So first of all, meditation can be lots of different things. I have a formal practice and I do that religiously every day. That's just me. And I'll go into that in a minute. But if you're not ready for that, put your earbuds in. Go for a walk. That's a kind of meditation. You can put your earbuds in and put on meditative music or your favorite music, or you could just go for a walk and that would be a meditation. Cooking your meal is a meditation. Cleaning the dishes is. You can have music on, not have music. Lying on your couch and zoning out is. And so there are lots of different ways to meditate. Meditate with your mala beads, have a mantra, do breath work. There are so many different ways. And I just want to make sure you know that guided meditations, non-guided, listening to binaural beats, which are great for your brain waves and take your brain waves down a notch so that your head could be clearer. So, and you can DM me if you want ideas for meditation, because I am like, no one would believe this when I first started, that I am like, I spend about several hours in meditation every day. Okay. So here's the thing with meditation. One, start with a minute, just a minute, 60 seconds. We could just sit here right now for 60 seconds and not talk. And that's a meditation. And what I'll tell you is that I've led meditations before and I've seen people who have never meditated and they're sitting for 60 seconds. And I taught this class and I kept my eyes open because I wanted to be able to get a sense of the room. They were like, their eyes were closed and they were meditating, but this is what they were like. Okay. Like their eyes were closed, but they could not sit still. It was so, and it was 60 seconds. And they wouldn't look, but they were like, where's my phone? Where's this? And it's incredible that we can't sit for 60 seconds. So I challenge you tonight to go and sit for 60 seconds. Do not worry for 1 second what comes into your mind. Don't even notice it. If you like it, don't worry about it. If you don't like it, don't worry about it. That's the first step, I personally think, because it's easy. It's baby steps. Then, like you said, start noticing your thoughts. So the next, maybe you do that for a week or 2 weeks, and then you add a minute. Or maybe you add 4 minutes and make it a 5 minute meditation, but whatever, baby steps, whatever it is for you. And then just start to notice the thoughts, but don't challenge them yet. Don't go into anything. Just start, oh, that's interesting. I wonder why 9 out of 10 of my thoughts are negative. I wonder if because I'm having these thoughts, it means the thoughts are true. Or could the thoughts not be true? And it's actually my lower self speaking to me, because we have a lower self and a higher self. And our lower self keeps us in the saboteur mode, the inner critic. And our higher self introduces us to our captain of our ship, the leader within. And that higher self is amazing. But the only way you're going to get to your higher self, one, it is through meditation, among other things. But the only way you're going to get there is by releasing the lower self. In order to release the lower self, you have to let go of all those thoughts. So it's not going to be a fun process at the beginning. You're going to have thoughts like, why did my parents neglect me? Why did that guy not like me? Why did that girl not like me? Why can't I get that job? Why am I such a loser? And those thoughts are going to come through if that's what you're thinking about yourself. Why do I bite my nails all the time? Why do I still suck my thumb? Why do I do this? Why do I do that? And you're going to be criticizing yourself. Just notice and release. And they will start to go away. And then what happens is you start to have this higher self, and the higher self not only has really positive thoughts for you, and trust me, the universe only wants us to feel good about ourselves, but not only does it have positive thoughts for you, it's going to guide you. So you're at a job you don't like, you're all the chatter and the noise from your lower self is telling you why you have to stay. You need to pay the bills. You're not supposed to like your job. You have to grind. It's just the way it's supposed to be. But then when you quiet your mind and you've gone through releasing some of the noise, not all of it, even just some of it, your higher self is going to start to say to you, you know what? You don't like that job and you'd be really good in the medical field. Would you ever think about doing something in the medical field? That's what your inner self is going to say to you. And then you're going to argue with it and be like, no, my lower self says I can't get my medical degree. And your upper self is, well, maybe you could be a chiropractor or an acupuncturist or an herbalist. There are lots of things in the medical field that you can do. And that doesn't require you to go to med school. And then you're going to be like, oh, maybe I'll start to Google those things and look into them. And whatever comes of that, comes of that. It doesn't even matter. But you're in a whole different space because you've let go of those thoughts that are limiting beliefs and your lower self is selling you and you're buying those. I'm sorry. I'm just going to go with one more thing that I think I said, and I want to reiterate. Just because you think something doesn't mean it's true.
Never a truer statement has been said on this show. So I promise you, you keep saying a word that I love and I'm such a fan of it, and that's release. I think this is by design when you say that, because again, the freeing idea, the letting go, but guys, this release, tell me what that means to you, because I love that word. I think more people should embrace this word and be like, it's okay. Let's release it. So can you tell me a bit more where that came from?
Well, first, I mean, I'm going to be kind of gross for a second, but like most people would think I'm all appropriate and everything. But you know, when you have to go to the bathroom and you really need to go and it doesn't feel good and you're hoping you're not, well, if you're my kids at school or at a friend's house and you finally get home and you go, my head feels better. My stomach feels better. Everything feels better. That's release. And you're releasing some toxic stuff that's in your body. It's the same thing with your thoughts. It's the same thing with your belief system. You have this belief system that you've taken on at face value and you just believe it because your parents taught it to you and society taught it to you and culture taught it to you. But then if you start to look at it and say, is this really what I believe? Do I really believe I need to be married by this age, have kids by this age, have two dogs, have a car, this and that, whatever it is for you. And if you don't, then you say that you get comfortable with the idea of not, and you release it. And release is like lifting a weight off of yourself. And you kind of said it, like, it's like, we're clouded by so many different things, the food we eat, the thoughts we have, the way we were raised, our belief and value system. And each time you explore one of those, even if you just let one thing go from that exploration and you realize, okay, I didn't believe one of those things, but I believed everything else, you're going to feel a lightness within. That's the release. People always say to me, like, I don't know. They'll be like, how come your skin's so good? Or how come you like feel like this or look like this or whatever? And it's nothing except getting rid of the contamination in my body. It's not like I'm doing anything special or that you can't do it too. It's really just about letting go of all the toxicity. And we have so many toxic thoughts. We have so many toxic patterns, behaviors, ways of being, and we just go on autopilot and don't recognize them. So if your best friend was doing something that was sabotaging themselves or they were doing something really dangerous, you would go talk to them. If you're really a true friend, you would go to them and say, look, you keep going back to this guy who's cheating on you, who is like just treating you like you don't deserve anything. Why are you doing that? Here's what we need to do together. Let me be your pal, whatever. Do that to yourself. Be your own best friend. I'm certainly my own best friend. I mean, go be your best advocate, because if you can't do it for yourself, you certainly can't be showing up for other people. And who deserves it more than your own self? So the release is dealing with all that stuff, letting it go. And you're like walking on air. Life is meant to be like, you're meant to flow with life, not resist it, not to control, not to hold on so tight.
I love it. And there's another word that you keep coming up with. And we just have to explore it a little bit, because it's probably my least favorite thing to watch, but it's so real. And that is self-sabotage, sabotage in general. And you talked about the lower self that's doing this. I don't know how to fix it, right? Other than spending some real time with people and acknowledging you're doing this to yourself. What's some of your thoughts to this? Because you talked about some hardwires. You talked about these beliefs that 100% were given to us. We accumulate these things so early, even before our long-term memory. So how can we overcome some of these self-sabotaging behaviors?
You answered it at the beginning and you said it, and it's all about awareness and consciousness and self-awareness. So there's this like, I'm not sure how many people understand really what consciousness is, but there's this state of being. It's called paradise. People think paradise is a destination. I'm going to go to Turks and Caicos. I'm going to be in paradise. And trust me, that is paradise. But paradise is what's up here. You can create paradise every moment of your life if you wanted. And I'm not saying there aren't things that are knocking us down or that are going to bring us back to our knees or out of paradise, but paradise is a state of consciousness, and so is everything else. So if you're self-sabotaging and you don't even recognize you're self-sabotaging, but you're not happy with your life, ask yourself why. Why am I not happy with my life? What is happening right now? Write a list. Maybe it's accurate, maybe it's not, but you're going to get some stuff out and you're going to start looking at that stuff. Maybe I'm self-sabotaging because I go to bed at midnight and I have to wake up at 4 a.m. And how could I feel good from 4 a.m. until midnight the next day? Whatever it is, you probably know, you're probably just not looking at it. You're probably, again, on autopilot, sleepwalking through life. And when we start being aware of our thoughts and our ways of being, I mean, even with my kids, it's like they'll call me on my stuff. And when I do it and they call me on it, I love it because they're helping me. And I'm like, I don't really usually argue it. I'm like, you know what? You're right. Good point. I have to think about that. I'm not sure why I did that. And you just need to do that for yourself. So every thought you have, like before you just make a decision. And by the way, in the beginning, you may notice that you're self-sabotaging and still go and do it. But the fact that you're noticing it before you do it is the first step. So it's okay if you noticed it and then when you went and did it, what we tend to do is then beat ourselves up and say, I can't believe I just did that again. I knew that was happening. And I guess I'm just a failure and I'm never going to be able to make it right. No, you notice something that you usually don't notice. And that's the first step towards healing.
It's so good. I have so many directions to go. I have to, because I haven't said congrats. Congrats on working and getting the book out this summer, I think you said.
Yeah, thank you.
Very excited to check that out. There's a theme going on here, and your podcast is called The Juice. And I'm guessing it has to deal with putting some good stuff in our body, releasing some of these toxins. Tell me a bit more about the show and where did you come up with the idea of The Juice? Because it's unique. I haven't heard that one before.
So, well, first of all, like, I don't know if you know in the teenage world, but the tea is like all about like the info. Give me the juice. We used to say juice. Now they say tea. So I started with like the tea and that was what it was going to be because I thought it would be a fun way to sit down and I have a lot of younger followers and stuff like that. But then I was like, I'm all about green juice and I'm all about nourishing my body, which I'll go into in a minute, and feeling good. And so it used to be in person, my podcast before COVID. And so we would just sit down and I'd make us each a fresh green juice because I wanted to introduce the concept to my guests anyway, because in my opinion, the better we all are, each one of us individually, the better we are as a whole. So anytime I can help someone else, I think it's helping me. I think it's helping my peers. I think it's helping you. I think it's helping all of us. And most importantly, I'm concerned with my children and their generation and then their children and their generation. So the more I can have an impact on people. So anyway, so that was The Juice. So it's like a play on words, The Juice, give me the info. And then The Juice, let's sit down and have a healthy juice. And what was the other, was there another question with that or just where it came from?
Not really, but it tells me how not hip I am. I didn't know the tea, so I am just not up with the time.
Well, I think it's because you have two boys.
Perhaps that could be it.
Ask them, they'll know.
But let's, so you did start to go into a little bit about putting the nourishment.
Oh, right.
And that's, you said, I want to touch on, I want to hear more about it because okay. I'm all about that.
So when I was younger again and had gone through a lot of things, I didn't put good things in my body. Like we all do. I mean, my kids go get Chick-fil-A. I'm not going to lie. Well, my daughter's vegetarian, so she doesn't, but my boys do. And in my late teens, nothing was working for me. My stomach was always bloated. I never felt well. My head didn't feel well. I didn't feel well emotionally. Nothing felt good about me. And I'm like, I'm in my late teens. I looked fine. I always had like boyfriends and I was very social and everything was fine on the outside. But on the inside, I was a wreck. I was also anxious. I told you, insecure, low self-esteem, all that normal teenage good stuff. And I went to a doctor because I was having some medical issues and went on these meds that were just awful. And the side effects were really grueling. And so my mom at the time, she's always my mom, but she passed away. I said at the time. So my mom And I talked about going to a holistic practitioner, which was very unusual at that time. You know, it was a long time ago. Well, not that long. I'm not that old, but you know. And so we went to this doctor and got off all my meds. He put me, this is like, I don't know, maybe late 80s, early 90s, put me on a gluten-free diet before it was popular. Everything tasted like cardboard. And over the years, I've been on and off some version of it. Like, you know, in college, I was pizza with blue cheese and ranch dressing every single night. Gross, right? We would dip it in, nasty. And whatever, I just ate like junk. But what I started to realize is every time I didn't eat well, I didn't feel well. And so I just kind of got off the hamster wheel of that and said, you know, sometimes I won't eat great, but I want my insides to reflect my outsides and my outsides to reflect my insides. So I need to work on my outsides, like, and I need to work on my insides. I exercise every single day. It's a huge part of my life, not because I want to look good physically, but because here are the endorphins. And trust me, I don't want to get up every day and go work out. It's not like I'm motivated and feeling it. Some days I feel it and I can't wait. And other days I dread it. But it's not so much about what you're doing and how you feel doing it. You don't have to like everything you're doing. It's about the results and the benefit it offers your life. So a lot of times my clients are like, I hate working out. So what? So do I sometimes, or I hate doing this. I hate drinking. I don't like the taste of a green juice, by the way. I don't put any fruit in it. It's pure vegetables. I don't like it, but I like what it does in here. And you know what else it does? It opens my heart. It's made me more vulnerable, not just the green juice, but what I ingest, like my apple cider vinegar or the supplements I take. The way I treat myself has allowed me to let my guards down, put me in vulnerable positions that aren't always fun and don't always work out the way I want. But it's okay. Like even putting this book is going to be really painful for me and I'm uncomfortable getting it out there, but I am such a solid vessel in and of myself because of the way I take care of myself. And you guys are worth it too. And maybe I go to an extreme with my healthcare, but even if you did 50% or 25% of what I did, if you changed one thing, one habit in your life right now, you'll feel differently. One habit. Have a glass of water every morning when you wake up, before you start your coffee, before you do anything else, before you pick up your phone. That'll change something for you. And if you're expecting to see the change in a day, 2 days, 3 days, then forget it. We're not, you know, I know you want instant gratification, but that's just not how it works. It takes time. Someone just asked me about probiotics. I'm like, you got to get them in your system for a month before you really start to notice anything. A month, she said. I'm like, yeah, a month. Like, you think all of a sudden you're going to take one pill and your digestive system's going to be fixed? I don't think so.
Yeah, especially years of, like you said, pizza and blue cheese dressing. It is
wings.
All the crap that we ate, you know, and that's natural for, I think, you know, at least our generation, that was natural that you know, this wasn't such a thing where being aware, gluten-free, I didn't really believe it till 7 or 8 years ago. I've been that way for 5 years.
The thing is, when we were growing up, the food sources weren't so damaged. So we could get away with eating certain things. Also, Doritos wasn't our staple. It was a treat. Going to Burger King was like once a year, once every few months or whatever. And now that's the norm. My kids have a home-cooked meal every single night since they were babies. I'm not saying they never order, but that's super important to me. I put love into everything I make them, even if they don't like it. And so there's something to do, not just with the food that you're eating, but also making it, taking the time, caring. I don't know whose hands are all over my food when I go out to eat, but not just their hands in terms of like, do they have germs? I'm not a germaphobe or anything like that, but also, are they angry that day? Did they just have a humongous fight with their spouse? Are they being evicted? Did they just lose their job and this is their last week there? And like, I have no idea what's going on in their life. And that comes off. That radiates a person for the good or the bad.
Anybody that's gone to Thanksgiving with your grandmother and the food just tastes that much better is what she is talking about. I know people are like, oh, come on, that energy, this is real. And there's actually, gosh, I cannot think of the show right now, but she's like, it's a book. I'm so sorry. And it's all about the stew. It's called Soup. It's actually called Soup. It's John Gordon. And she's like, what is the ingredient? And she's like, it's love. I always think of my grandma Margie every time I hear that. So I totally agree with that. I got to get into something that, just because you've touched on it and you've done so many different things, failure. When it comes to failure, what's your process? What's your thought? Because obviously it doesn't seem like much gets you down, or certainly is not going to keep you down. What drives you and what is that process?
So for failure, I'm like, yes, one more failure means I'm that much closer to my success. You cannot have success without failure. And failure, we've been raised to think failure is a bad thing. You want to avoid it. If you admit to failure, you are a failure. And that is not true. We make mistakes every single day. Forget about failures. We make messes and mistakes. That doesn't mean we're a mess or a mistake, but we tend to internalize those things that we do. So, you know, I used to be in sales, and I couldn't wait to get through my first 100 calls because I knew my first 100 calls would probably be no's. And that just meant I was closer to my yes. Failure is part of the process. Ask any successful human being, but also change the paradigm in your mind. Just because we were taught as young kids that failure makes us bad, failure makes us weak, failure means we're stupid, failure means we'll never succeed. Change it. It's up to you to change it. If you want to keep believing that, you're going to keep getting more of what you've gotten. If you want to shift and have a new life, you've got to change your belief system. You've got to change your thoughts. And what's the worst that's going to happen if you change them? Maybe it won't work for you. I know it will, but maybe it won't. Then you'll go back to your old way of thinking. But why not try it? I think failure is where we learn the most. We have the universe. I am going woo-woo here. I don't care, because it's true. The universe has lessons for us. And we're meant to learn them. And you're going to get smacked in that in the face with that lesson over and over again. And whether that's a failure or a mistake, it's going to keep happening till you learn the lesson. So instead of looking at it as a failure, say, what can I learn from it? And what's my process? My process is next. Next.
Good one.
What's next?
I mean, it's simple, right? Next. I'm closer to, I mean, you just gave me a couple one-liners that I love. And by the way, saying woo-woo on the show, we don't get to say that anymore. So we're taking that one out. My audience knows, look, energy is a real thing.
Okay.
That is scientific. I don't give a shit what people say. It is all around us. The context is where people get screwed up with it. They're like, oh, that can't be true. Somebody made my meal with bad energy and that's translating 100%. 100% I agree with that.
And you could just think of it a different way. Sorry to interrupt you. You don't have to think of it with energy, but if like someone's in a bad mood, obviously they're passing on that mood. Like when you go into a room and someone comes in and they're in a bad mood, doesn't the energy get sucked out of the room and everyone's like, can't wait for this bad time to leave, or I can't wait to leave. It's the same thing with everything else. And you could call it energy. You could call it vibes. You could call it spirit. You could call it whatever you want. It is a real thing. Ask Albert Einstein, ask Tesla. Like, it's real.
Oh, it is for sure.
And ask them though.
One of the things you said about your book, you said, look, this is going to hurt a little bit, but you're like, you're excited about it. You're embracing it. And I'm guessing you're uncomfortable, therefore you're growing. Is that the idea here? Because I just the way you said that, I'm like, oh, that's beautiful. So tell me more about that.
It's definitely growth. I'm more doing it because I think it's going to help other people. And if it helps one person, it's enough. And I think it will. I know it will. I don't think it will. And actually, I just corrected my own language. And that's one thing I do as a coach all the time. We say things and we don't even realize. I think I'm going to go get a new car. I think I'm going to get a new job. I think I'm going to go try to do this. I'm going to. I am going to help people. And we've got to watch our language, because what we put out there is what we manifest back. But it is all of writing the book was growth. Putting it out there will be growth, because I'm hesitant because it's vulnerable and it's exposing a lot of my life and a lot of my personal life that I haven't yet exposed. And I'm excited because I know whoever reads it and is touched by it, it will change their life and it will help them and it'll give them. It's like, I wish I could reach my hand out to everyone and be like, come on, I got you. Just take my hand and I'll pull you up. This is my way of doing that.
Well, it will be. It'll be therapeutic for you, for other people. I don't know if you listen to Lewis Howes at all, but he talks about that. And he's like, one of the best things he could have done. I know what I was going to ask. She's an introvert, you guys, and I am air quoting right now. This is funny to me. And you said, you know, we have to watch our language, but it was in your meet, you know, get to know Pam a little better. You're an introvert, really?
It's hard to believe, I know. And my daughter always says, you're an extroverted introvert. But an introvert doesn't necessarily mean that you can't be outgoing or can't go into a room and kind of run the room or whatever, or be a motivational speaker in front of lots of people. I am also, I'm giving myself all these labels, an empath. So I pick up on people's energy and I need a lot of time alone. I do not go out at all. I do. And actually at the beginning of this, I said, I don't even like being on videos, but I'm doing this because my higher self is telling me that this is what I'm meant to do at this point in my life. And I'm doing it for others. And of course for myself, because if it's what I'm meant to do, it's healing and it's fulfilling and all of that. But just because I'm meant to do it doesn't mean I like every aspect. I like writing because that goes back to the introvert. I'm sitting in my room alone. No one has to, I don't have to deal with anyone. I am super antisocial. I have a very small circle of friends, very tight, but very loyal, but very small. I'm very private, which is why it's really hard for me to get this book out there, because I'm really putting out there everything. So even though I can talk well and I can talk circles around most people and I have a lot to say and I have a lot of good content, I would much rather be alone than anywhere else, other than with my kids.
That makes sense. So you said something that we just have to talk about a little bit. So you said you're an empath. Is that, am I pronouncing that properly? So I think I know what you're saying. Picking up other people's energies. You can read a lot of people probably quickly. I imagine that's almost wears you down when with the negative energy. Is that fair to say?
Well, I've gotten to a point where I've kept my frequency and my vibration so high that generally it doesn't. Someone has to have really negative and I have to have let them pull sucked me in. But when I first started, before I knew how to raise my frequency and I knew what this was all about, yes, people would, it would be draining. They're the energy vampires. But now not so much. I have a good handle on it.
And when did you kind of discover this? I'm just curious because I know a few people that I didn't know that terminology. Maybe I didn't understand that, but we call her energy healers. And like, they have this amazing ability to read, know things that most people don't. Is that something that you discovered through? Tell me more how you figured that out.
I think I've always because of some of the stuff that I went through when I was younger, I always was able to put myself in other people's shoes, no matter what. And being able to do that, even when you don't want to, it's hard because everyone is suffering. You could be smiling at me and I could be smiling at you and we could really enjoy our lives and have a good life, but that doesn't mean we're not also suffering. We are all suffering. We've all been through a lot and my stuff may be worse than yours, but it doesn't matter because your stuff is yours. So that's as worse that it's all relative. And so I would say I've always been that way. What the distinguishing factor is that in my late 20s, I started learning about it and understanding it so I could start to work with it and I could start to help myself, which allowed me to then help others and set boundaries, but also be there for people and also do things, like I said, to build my reserves, my frequency, my vibration. So I would always be vibrating at a high level. And when I'm not, I go home and I don't come out for a while. You might not see me for 3, 4, 5 days until I've built myself back up.
That's interesting. So you're recharging your batteries through, again, whether it's meditation, reading, exercise, whatever it is to fill those buckets. I'm going on another tangent real quick, just because you said your favorite animal is your elephant. And over your left shoulder, I believe it is, I see two elephants. There's got to be a story. It's not just because there's got to be something about an elephant. And maybe you went on a safari and you're like, they're amazing. Or maybe you're just like, they're badasses. Tell me about that.
Well, first I have to say my dog is my favorite animal, really, because she's my dog and I love her and she's a rescue and a pain, but she has so much personality. But in general, elephants, they represent good luck. They're huge and they're fierce, but they're babies. And so they come on off really strong and they are really strong, but inside they're just little babies like we all are. We're all just babies that want to be parented and want to be loved. That's all we really want, right? Like whether it's from other people or from our own selves. And there really isn't any story. I wish I did have a good story for you. When you have elephants in your house, they're supposed to face the door. They bring good luck in. You're supposed to put money in their tusks. But no, I just think they're beautiful animals.
That's cool. I will say we went on a safari last year and I didn't expect this. They were by far, and we saw them everywhere. I mean, that's the unique thing about being out there in it was in South Africa, but they are so playful. And they protect one another in ways that it's just unique. And I know other animals do, but it was really cool to watch.
I love them.
I have so many questions. I want to make sure I get the best ones in. So you're writing this book. I imagine books have shaped you, being that you're a teacher, You obviously have done a lot of work and growth. What are your top three maybe books that have really shaped and impacted your life?
There are so many more than three. I just have to say that I'll come up with three, but really, I mean, because different books resonate at different times in my life. I read The Untethered Soul by Michael Singer. I forget when it first came out. And then I just read it last year and it hit me in a different way. And I love that book, by the way. I love How to Win Friends and Influence People by Dale Carnegie. I love anything by Brené Brown. I love The Power of Positive Thinking by Vincent Norman Peale. I love Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill. I love anything by John Maxwell. He's a leadership guy. Wayne Dyer, I'm giving way more than three. Anthony Robbins. I mean, when I was younger in my teens, I stumbled upon him and he really helped me a lot then. Now, you know, I just went to Unleash the Power Within. It didn't land, but I don't care because he's an amazing person and he's done amazing things. And every person has a different person that resonates with them. So like someone might watch me and love my stuff and the next person might not love my stuff, but might love you. And so like it's finding that person for you. So I give book ideas to people all the time, but I always say, don't get discouraged if these books don't sit well with you or they don't hit you or you don't have your aha moments. Go find the author that does, number one. Number two, you should be able to get one aha moment out of any book that I just mentioned, whether you like the person or not.
Well, How to Win Friends and Influence People and Think and Grow Rich are winning on this show so far. I ask this frequently, and these books written in the 20s and 30s are still holding strong. But that you just said something. I hope people take note of this. You're right, because to releasing the judgment and saying, hey, maybe Tony Robbins wasn't my thing, or maybe Grant Cardone is my thing, but they've helped influence so many people to greater things. And I've actually, that's been a process for me because I used to be like, I don't, but it doesn't matter. And that's the point. There, it's not about them for the most part.
I have one thing I'll add while you think about your question.
Yeah, of
course. Okay. So when I'm saying all those books, you know, the changes we're talking about making are hard changes. And one of the reasons they're so difficult is because we're older, whether you're 20, 25, 30, 35, 40, 45, and so on, you've had a minimum of 20 years in this life being one way, and now you need to change that. So really to me, the change starts when you're young. So if you're a parent watching this, you can have a huge influence over your children's adult life by how you treat them as children. And one thing that I would do for my kids, well, lots of things, but one thing with the books is when they would get in trouble, which wasn't that often, they were pretty good kids, but there were times, instead of taking away their phone or saying no video games or you can't go out with friends, they would read one of those books. And then they would summarize it. And that was their punishment because I didn't want it to be punitive. I wanted it to be learning based for all of us. And so not just that, think about the way you talk to your children. You know, when you're upset with them and you realize it's because not so much of what they did, but you're stressed from the day and then they just kind of needled in on it and added to it. Let them know after you go off on them, be like, oh, I'm so sorry. I just lost my temper on you. Something happened at work. I shouldn't have taken it home. I did, but it really had nothing to do with you. Yes, I didn't like that you just put the milk carton wherever, whatever. We don't even drink milk in my house, but that you put it there, but it didn't warrant the kind of reaction I gave you. You doing that will, one, show them how to apologize, two, show them that they didn't really do anything. Not they're, if you just went off on them for no reason for a milk carton, they're basically saying to themselves, oh my God, I'm so bad. I can't believe I did this. My dad hates me. He this, he that. So it's up to us at a young age to start helping them so they don't have to do on this unraveling that we're doing.
Yeah, look, we project on people all the time. That's what happens. But having the gumption to say, look, I messed up. You're showing them a lot of things right there. I love that. Have you read Man's Search for Meaning?
Yeah. My son just bought it too. He just read it too. It's a Viktor Frankl.
Awesome. It's one. It would be in my top three every time.
It's an amazing book.
What does freedom mean to you? I'm going to go with a big one here.
Okay.
But what does freedom mean to you?
Everything. It's air. Breathing in. It's like exhilarating. And freedom comes from within. It doesn't come from our president. It doesn't come from the government. We could be told that we have to wear masks for the rest of our lives, which I would not like, by the way, and that we have to quarantine or do this or do that. And yes, is that taking away some of our rights? Absolutely. But the only person who can take away our freedom is ourselves because it's internal.
That's good. I like it. It's air. You've had two like short answers. I'm like, yeah, you nailed it. That's awesome. What should I have asked you? I didn't know enough to ask. Cause I, you know, we just met. I think you're awesome. I love what you're doing, but what would you like to leave the audience with?
Okay. So, I really want you guys to know how awesome you are. And I can tell you, other people can tell you, but for you to really feel it and believe it and know it, it has to come from within yourself. I can love you to pieces. I can be there for you every single day and you'll like that and that'll help you. But if I were to leave, how would you be on your own? And the only way we can really, really feel love for ourselves is to get to know ourselves and love our dark side and our light side. And you're deserving of that. You're worthy. We all are. We're miracles here. We are here for a reason. We have been chosen to be here when we've been put on this earth during this time. It's not a coincidence. There are no coincidences. So what I would leave this with is saying to you, urging you to get off the train, to get off and decide that you don't have to live in that space of low self-worth, of not thinking that you are enough, because you are. And the only reason you think you're not is patterns, conditioning, cultural, society, all that stuff. But you are. So my one thing is just go and find your inner power so you can live your best life.
I love it. So good. Where can our listeners connect with you online?
So there are two places. You can go to @PamChristian with two N's and find me on Instagram. Give me a follow, please, if you like it. And then thepamchristiangroup.com is my website.
Awesome. And we'll link all that to the show notes, you guys. Pam, I think you're awesome. I love your energy. This is fun. I could have gone on for many more. I have so many questions written down. I had to pick and choose. Keep doing the amazing work you're doing and keep putting love out there. It's amazing.
Thank you so much for having me.
It's truly our pleasure. All right, you guys, until next week, continue to transcend in life. Also, go to letsgowin.com. There is a life work balance. I'd love for you guys to check it out. It's free to you. I do at least once a month to check in, make sure I'm on the right course and checking in on all those things. And until next time, transcend in life. Have a great one.
Thank you so much for listening. If this content is delivering value to you, please make sure to subscribe, rate, and review us. That helps us build this community, and that is what we are all about. Building this community as big as we can, helping as many people as we can, and deliver as much value as possible. Be sure to head over to transcendinlifepodcast.com for information on my coaching courses, and make sure to follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn at Let's Go Win 365. Let's go win and transcend in life.
This is the Transcend in Life podcast with your host, J.M. Ryerson, taking you from fear to freedom.